What's up, Eagle Country? Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. It is the Monday, March 13th edition of the show and plenty to get to. We're going to be talking about various sports over the next half an hour, and we're going to start off in the world of wrestling. Jumping right in here because I want to make sure I have time to get to everything I want to get to this evening. Harrison Girls Wrestling state champions again. Back-to-back state championships now for the Harrison High School girls. They took first place at the inaugural OHSAA Girls Wrestling State Tournament over the weekend at The Ohio State University. They finished with 97 points as a team. Second place had, I believe, 68 off the top of my head. So a dominant performance from the Wildcats to claim their second straight state title. And it was another competition that was dominated by Chloe Deerwester. We've heard a lot about her over the past several years, really, now that she is a three-time state champion, dominating at the 105-pound weight class, 38-0, won the championship match by fall in just 59 seconds over Nakira Johnson out of Sandusky, and it was also her 110th win of her career. So Chloe continues to just be one of the best female wrestlers in the state of Ohio. Reagan Briggs has really come on in the last couple years as well. The 125-pound state champion won by decision 10-3 over Anna Maddie of Brecksville. Briggs finishing the season with a record of 35-2. So Harrison has the two individual state champions along with their team championship. Other placers at the OHSAA Wrestling State Tournament. Leah Willen placed third at 100 pounds, 41-7 this season. Excellent year. And Jessica Edwards, this young lady that's no stranger to competing at the state level, placed sixth at 235 pounds, 28-10 on the season in total. Seven of eight Harrison wrestlers advanced to day two at the state championship. We also wanted to give a shout out to Lily Kinzel, Olivia Olive, Mia Hotchkiss, and Molly Hudler for becoming state qualifiers and helping their team to a state championship. And what a story it was for Molly Hudler. She was actually a state alternate, I believe at 170 off the top of my head. And she got thrust into the state tournament because somebody was unable to compete. So a pretty cool story for her as well individually to be able to compete on that level and help her team win a state championship. And what an atmosphere and an experience that it had to have been for these young ladies competing at the SHOT at Ohio State University. That's where the men and women's basketball team, hockey team plays their games. It's a big arena and under the bright lights in such a big situation going for the inaugural state championship. I'm sure the pressure that they felt was pretty enormous as well. But as we've come to know with these young ladies over the past several years, they have been trailblazers in the world of women's wrestling, girls wrestling in the state of Ohio. To get it to the level that it is at right now, it's on its way to becoming a fully sanctioned sport, as you see them having an OHSAA state championship for the first time. And Harrison winning it comes as no surprise to me. Their program has been absolutely fantastic from top to bottom. The coaches, the wrestlers, the support that they get from outside of the program as well, the school district, all of that going together. Just an awesome thing to see them win the state championship over the weekend. And maybe we'll try to get them back on the show. They have been on Crunch Time before, and I might need to do a little work to get them on in the next couple of weeks to further celebrate their state championship. Let's stick with wrestling. I want to talk a little about Mason Paris. I didn't get a chance to talk about him last week following his Big Ten championship win, but the NCAA tournament is coming up this week. It starts on Thursday in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Mason, the Lawrenceburg native, going to be the number one seed in the heavyweight division. He has a 28-0 record heading into the NCAA tournament and is the number one ranked wrestler in the heavyweight division, a la the number one seed in the tournament. He will wrestle either Travis Stefanik from Princeton, the 33rd seeded wrestler, or number 32, Garrett Joles from Minnesota. They're essentially in a play-in match to have the right to wrestle Mason in the quote-unquote first round of the NCAA tournament. Top contenders on the top half of the bracket, which features Mason Paris. Number four, Tony Cassiope from Iowa. I think a lot of people that follow Mason's journey know about this young man from Iowa because they have met several times before. You also have number five, Colton Schultz from Arizona State, that poses a little bit of a problem on that top half of the bracket. On the lower half, number two, Wyatt Hendrickson. That's a young man, 26-1 from Air Force. You also have number three, Greg Kirkvillette from Penn State, who Mason Paris beat in the Big Ten championship matchup. So those are your kind of top contenders just based on seeding. I'm sure there's a few others in there that could really shake some things up in the heavyweight division. But for Mason Paris, he placed fifth last year. He was the runner-up as a junior going up against Gable Steveson. The NCAA championships did not happen in 2020 due to COVID, and Mason was a round of 12 qualifier as a freshman. So this is really the one thing that has eluded Mason in his college career, is winning the national championship. I think that's a big reason why he is back as a fifth-year senior at the University of Michigan. So this is essentially his last chance to check off that box of becoming a NCAA national champion, and we are certainly rooting for him back home here in Lawrenceburg and throughout Eagle Country. I think a lot of people continue to follow Mason's journey, and as I mentioned, the NCAA tournament starts on Thursday in Tulsa. It will culminate on Saturday night with that heavyweight championship bout, and we hope that Mason Paris is wrestling in that championship match. All right, let's talk a little boys basketball, as the Jacksonville Eagles are still alive in the IHSAA boys basketball tournament. Pulled off the upset of number six Bethesda Christian on Saturday at the Martinsville Regional. The Eagles advancing with the 61-59 win. I would say this is a pretty significant upset. You know, I like to look at the Sagarin ratings. Jacksonville entered the regional 21st in 1A. Bethesda Christian was number five. So again, pretty significant there. And what a game it was for Jacksonville. Great balanced scoring against a really good opponent. Matt Dickman leading the way with 19 points. Devin Griesop with 16. Seth Drockelman with 10. Landon Coleman had 9. Clark Dwinger chipping in with 5, and then Gavin Groth and Johnny Newhart with 1 each to help the Eagles to that win. And you always want good balanced scoring, and it's even more so necessary in the playoffs, and it should go without saying that they're going to need that to keep up the further they advance in the tournament. And one thing that I like about this Eagles team is they do have some good size, and they've been able to exploit that here so far throughout the state tournament, but they're going to run into a team this Saturday that has even bigger size when they match up with Rock Creek Academy in the first round of semi-state play. Again, new format this year with the girls and boys state basketball tournaments. The regional now just a one-game championship, and then you go back into a blind draw for the semi-state, and it's Rock Creek Academy for Jacksonville, and they're going to have to go up against Mariel Diaper, who checks in at 6'11", maybe even 7 foot. They got him listed at 170 pounds on Max Preps. I find that kind of hard to believe that he's only 170, but this is a young man that scored 29 points in the Lions blowout win over New Washington to capture their first regional title over the weekend, and they use their size to shoot 66% from the floor. They also have a forward that goes 6'7", Jaleb Treat. He had 16 in that regional game, and then Ladarius Wallace is another player to look out for. He had 12 points to help Rock Creek Academy to that regional championship. But rebounding, that is going to be a huge key to the game this weekend for Jacksonville. Rock Creek 42-19 over New Washington. That's how much their size really was imposed over them. 42-19 in rebounding. Jacksonville simply cannot be out-rebounded by that great of a margin on Saturday if they hope to win. But another thing, Jacksonville, when I look at their shooting percentages, only 41% from the field, 28 from three, 62 from the free throw line. They do average about 26 rebounds per game, so I do think they're a good rebounding team. They'll be that will be put to the test against Rock Creek with the great size that they have up front. But finding ways to get and make shots, get good shots and make shots is going to be another task for them. You know that Diaper is going to be right around the rim, challenging anything down there, so maybe they get him in foul trouble. I think you do need to go at him a little bit. You can't let his length and height scare you off from going to the basket. Otherwise, you're just going to be chucking him from the cheap seats, to use a quote from Hoosiers, and that's not something that you want to have happen against a team that is really good at rebounding. So it does look like it'll be a tough matchup for Jacksonville, but they have already shown that they are capable of beating teams that are rated higher than them. And Rock Creek does have a slightly better Sagarin rating. They're at number 17 in 1A. So these two teams are more closely related than Jacksonville and Bethesda Christian were. But again, this game in particular poses some different challenges with the height and the size that Rock Creek does have. Rock Creek has won 5 in a row, 8 of their last 10. They were 2-11 at one point this season, but they played quite a few 3A and 4A schools to start the season. They really challenged themselves and, like I said, didn't win hardly any games on the early half of the season, but they're getting hot at the right time. Jacksonville also hot at the right time. They have won 8 in a row entering the semi-state. They look to keep that hot streak alive on Saturday at Hatchet House at Washington High School. It will be a noon tip-off, and when they do tip it off, Jacksonville will know if they win who they will play, because number 1 Lagodi and number 4 Indianapolis Lutheran will play game 1 at 10 a.m. at Hatchet House on Saturday. So should be a couple of good ones there for the semi-state. And then, of course, the semi-state championship game will follow Saturday evening. So good luck to Jacksonville. We hope that they're able to keep their season alive with a couple of wins on Saturday and get themselves to the 1A state championship. And I do want to look at the brackets from throughout the state, because I'm just a basketball fan. And that 1A tournament, mentioned the four teams that are going to be playing at Washington. On the other half of the bracket, the north side, at Lafayette Jefferson, you have number 2 Fountain Central taking on Southwood, and then Marquette Catholic, the number 10 team in 1A, will take on Coutts. So there's your final 8 in Class 1A. At the 2A level in the south at Southport, it'll be number 5 Brownstown Central, who came out of the Southwestern Hanover sectional. They will play Indianapolis Cecina. The winner there will play either number 1 Linton Stockton or Park Heritage. 2A north side of the bracket, stacked here. You got number 3 Fort Wayne Blackhawk Christian taking on number 7 Gary 21st Century. Number 2 Wapahani will take on Lewis Cass. So you got some really high ranked teams left in the 2A bracket. 3A on the south side, Scottsburg knocking off Greensburg by 2 points, 48-46 in the regional over the weekend. They're number 11 in 3A. They'll take on number 6 North Davies at Seymour. Number 12 Garin Catholic versus number 14 Beech Grove. And on the north side of the bracket, you got number 1 Northwood taking on Fort Wayne Dwinger, and Delta and Glenn matching up in the other semi-state at Elkhart. And then in 4A in the south at Newcastle, number 1 Ben Davis taking on Bloomington North. Ben Davis 30-0 on the season. The other half of that semi-state, number 8 Brownsburg versus number 9 Jennings County. And on the north side of the 4A bracket, you have number 5 Kokomo taking on Fort Wayne Wayne. And then maybe the matchup of the weekend, in 4A, number 2 Penn taking on number 3 Hammond Central. Both of the teams have only lost one game this season. So that may or may not have interested you, because many of our area teams are already out of the tournament. I shouldn't say already. We're at the semi-state level. But many of our area teams no longer playing this season. But again, if you like Indiana high school basketball, or you're maybe looking for something to do this weekend, Newcastle, Seymour, those are some semi-states that are, you know, pretty decent. Not a bad drive is what I'm trying to say. So you might go out and check out a game. I don't know. I would love to see Ben Davis and Jennings County playing for the semi-state championship that has somewhat of a regional flair for us here in Eagle Country with Jennings County just kind of outside of our listening area. And they've been having an excellent season at 24-2. So if they could play the number one team in 4A that would be undefeated going into the semi-state championship game, I think that'd be pretty cool, especially at a setting like Newcastle Fieldhouse. So anyways, to kind of go back, it's a little long-winded there. Good luck to Jacksonville. That's our one area team that's still alive at the semi-state level, and we wish them good luck as they travel to Washington to take on Rock Creek Academy this Saturday. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Dr. Ron Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Trimba, located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need close to home. OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoSensi.com. So we got a little state champion theme to the show this evening. Right now I want to talk about archery, and this is not something that often comes up on the show. I can admit that, and I can also admit that I don't know very much about the sport, but I do know that it is worth mentioning when we have young people from the area winning championships in the sport. And the 2023 Indiana NASP State Bullseye and 3D tournaments taking place over the weekend at the Indiana State Fair. And at the State Bullseye Tournament, Braven Combs and Jaden Comer, or Jaden Comer, I know it depends on where you're from in the area, were crowned champions in the elementary division. Combs of Dillsboro Elementary winning the boys state championship with a score of 284. He finished the competition with 17 tens. And then again, Comer, I'm just saying both of the names just so I'm going to get it right one of the times, of course. But Jaden will go with also impressive in the girls' state championship, finishing first with 279 points. She tallied 13 tens on her way to a state title. So pretty awesome stuff to see there in the state 3D tournament. Batesville High School's Blake Belter was in the top 10. He was 10th among high school boys. And then Charlie Polskamp, also a top 10 finish, placing 9th among middle school boys. And some of the team results, Batesville had a ton of teams at these state tournaments, and they were really strong on the bullseye competition. Their elementary, middle school, and high school teams, team one, I will say, all placed second. They had two teams in each of those competitions. Batesville Intermediate team 2, 16th in the elementary division. The middle school team 2, 26th, and the high school team 2 finishing 26th as well. Some of the other area schools competing: Dillsboro Elementary was 10th in the bullseye division, elementary school bullseye division, the bullseye high school division. South Dearborn was 17th, South Ripley was 24th, and Milan was 25th. And then on the 3D competition side of things, Batesville Middle School placing 4th, while the high school came in 6th place. So we had a ton of local archers taking part in the NASP State Bullseye and 3D tournaments over the weekend. Two state champs and a lot of really quality finishes. I wish I had enough time to list off all of the competitors that were there and where they placed among their division. There is simply too many names and not enough time in this program. So we do have a link to the full results for you over at EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, moving right along here, a few more topics to get to round out the show. Right now I want to talk about academic all-state honors. The Indiana Basketball Coaches Association announcing 550 players last week that earned either first-team academic all-state or honorable mention, and we had several boys and girls from the area receive recognition from the IBCA. Only 69 boys and girls from across the state were named academic all-state first team. That included Lawrenceburg senior Lizzie Reeder, Rising Sun senior Peyton Merica, and Batesville senior Cole Pride. I guess I don't have to say senior for all of these young men and women, because that's what they all are. When you make academic all-state, it's for seniors only. So others receiving honorable mention, Reese Hofer from East Central, Dylan Martin from Rising Sun, Cora Deputy from Batesville, Caitlin Dick from East Central, Michaela Granger-Young from Batesville, Maya McNew from South Ripley, and Julia Tiemann from East Central. And when making selections for the academic all-state team, the IBCA program considers GPA, your academic class rank, SAT and ACT scores, and athletic performance in areas such as points, rebounds, and assists per game. So not only do these young men and women have great GPAs, test scores, get it done in the classroom, they're also performing well on the basketball floor. So congratulations to those student athletes receiving honors from the IBCA Academic All-State Honors. That is a great, great list to be on. Next up, we got a couple of college commitments that we want to get to. There's been an emergence with esports among high schools across the state of Indiana and really across the country in general. And there is an esports star at South Dearborn High School that's going to continue on at Thomas More University. Goes by the name of Logan Hickey, signed his letter of intent to join the esports team at Thomas More University last week. He is a three-time esports state champion. Obviously hopes to cap off his high school career with a fourth straight title. And beyond the esports, Logan, a great student athlete there at South Dearborn High School, holds a couple of records with the boys soccer team for single season saves and career saves, helping his team to two sectional championships in his 4 years as well. And well, in the classroom, he's a four-year academic scholar award winner, so a well-rounded young man is Logan Hickey. We've had him on the show a couple of times with the esports team and with the soccer team. A bright young man with a bright future, and I think it's really, really cool that this esports thing has taken off. If you would have asked me when I was a kid if I told you you could go to college on basically a video game scholarship, would you take that? I first would have said, you're crazy, that will never happen. And second, I would have said, where do I sign? That would have been absolutely awesome. But I can tell you right now, I am nowhere near as talented on the sticks as Logan Hickey is. He is a master at his craft, and we are looking forward to hearing more great things from him on the esports team, not only at South Dearborn, but at Thomas More University as well. So congratulations, Logan. Awesome stuff there. We wish you nothing but the best the rest of your high school career and at the next level. Now, as I mentioned, I would have loved to have gotten a scholarship to be a part of an esports program at any college or university throughout the country. One thing that I knew that it was not possible getting a scholarship for was swimming. I'm not strong in the water, but Caden Cummins of East Central High School is very strong in the water, and he is going to continue his swimming career at Franklin College. And this is a young man that's had a great high school career. Actually finished it off last month at the IHSAA State Finals, competed in the 200 free relay and 400 free relay with his Trojan teammates, but twice the EIAC MVP, holds conference and school records in the 200 free and 400 free relays, and a great student as well. 3.5 GPA in the classroom and a member of the National Honor Society. Going to graduate with academic honors in the spring, so great stuff there as well from East Central High School as Caden Cummins will continue his academic and athletic career at Franklin College. Good luck to you, young man, and go kill it at Franklin College. That's what we're looking for, is some continued success both in the classroom and in the swimming pool. And just two more things I want to get to on the show, and I think I've allowed myself enough time to actually talk about everything that I wanted to get to on this particular show of Crunch Time. Sometimes I get a little long-winded about a certain topic, and I have to drop something from the end of the show, but I want to talk about refereeing. This is a really cool program that Lawrenceburg High School has started up. They have 7 students currently taking part in this refereeing program. Freshman Brooklyn Craig, who's a standout on the girls basketball team, recently completed the course that's a part of the Officiating 101 initiative, and she's taken the exam and everything. She is now capable of refereeing IHSAA events that are at the junior varsity level or under. Once she turns 18, she will be eligible to ref varsity games if she so chooses. But there's some other student athletes there at Lawrenceburg, Charlie Meyer and Noah Caniga, also Joey Cavanaugh, who've completed the course. They still need to take the exam. I believe Joey and Noah are looking more towards football, where Charlie is looking at basketball. So this is really neat. And I tell you what, officials, they get a lot of flack. People are always yelling at them, think that they could do their job better than them. They're basically out there volunteering. Yes, they get paid and everything like that, but without the officials, we don't have games at the high school level, and there's always a need for more officials, younger officials. So these students at Lawrenceburg High School are taking steps to becoming officials. Whether that is something that they continue doing later on in life, time will tell on that. But a very, very cool initiative, and something you can read more about over at EagleCountryOnline.com. My final thing, quickly, the NCAA tournament is coming up. And, you know, it's that time of the year where everyone's going to make their picks and see how smart they are about college basketball. Looking at the men's tournament specifically, I have Arizona, Marquette, Texas, and Gonzaga in my final four. I got Arizona over Marquette, Gonzaga over Texas, with Arizona defeating Gonzaga in the national championship game. I would not use any of my picks to make your picks if you're looking to win some sort of bracket challenge or anything like that. I filled this out very quickly and just did it because it's something I've done for a long time, and quite honestly, it's fun to do. So take it with a grain of salt, but I thought I'd throw it out there, see if maybe we matched up on this Monday evening. But thank you so much for listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to learn more at orthosensi.com. We'll do it again next Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here at Eagle Country 99.3 and at EagleCountryOnline.com.